Hi, this is Carissa, and this study is on the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms, or the Psalter, is one of the most well-known and treasured books of Scripture. But what you might not know is that there are so many different and legitimate ways to read this book. The book is a collection of individual psalms that were probably originally read aloud in community and then collected and intentionally arranged into a story. So the psalms can be read in community, they can be read as individual poems, and they can be read as a story. So I want to look at one individual psalm and also understand it by where it fits in the overarching story of the psalms. The kind of story the Psalter tells is different than a narrative, but it still follows a plot and has leading characters. In many ways, the story it tells is a microcosm of the story of the entire Bible. Here's what I mean by that. The Book of Psalms is divided into five separate books. It begins with an introduction about meditating on God's instruction and about a righteous king to come. And we've heard about this future righteous king in other places in Scripture, like 2 Samuel 7, where God makes a promise to David that a righteous king from among his descendants will reign on the throne forever. In books 1 through 3 of the Psalter, the plot follows the rise and fall of the Davidic kingdom. The ultimate fall of the kingdom is Israel's exile, a time when the people were taken as captives, and it seemed like God had gone back on his promises to them. It's here in the storyline of the Psalms that we come to Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is one of the darkest psalms in the Psalter, and I say that for a few reasons. First, it comes at this point in the story where the people are facing their ruin and all seems lost, and the psalm reflects this pain. Second, it's one of the only psalms in the Psalter that doesn't have a section of trust or hope in God. Psalms are actually highly structured poems that follow certain patterns or conventions, and this section of trust is part of the typical pattern of lament psalms like this one. So when Psalm 88 breaks the pattern, the message is that this is such a dark time that all hope seems lost. The psalmist starts this poem by expressing that he's been crying out to God day and night. Then the psalmist describes the depth of pain he's experiencing, and here we can hear his raw emotion. This section is full of images of death, like Sheol, the place of the dead, and the pit, which is a synonym. He describes himself as dead. He says, "I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care." The psalmist is truly mourning before God. As a side note, you'll notice in the Psalms that all things are attributed to God in a way that's probably different than how we might think of cause and effect today. Natural consequence wasn't a category in the minds of the ancient authors, so we can't get into this now, but it's just helpful to be aware of that as you read the Psalms. Near the end of the psalm, in verse 13, the poet cries out for help. This is his only prayer. I know some of us can really resonate with this feeling. There have been months at a time in my own life where help was the only thing I could muster to say to God. And this psalm is a good reminder that help is a completely appropriate prayer to God when we can't find any other words. It's actually a request that conveys trust and hope, even when we feel we have none. The psalm ends with the psalmist feeling completely alone and deeply lonely. He has no one, no connection, no friendship, no love. He says, "You have distanced loved one and neighbor from me. Darkness is my only friend." In Hebrew, this final line of the poem is actually just one word of anguish, one final cry of desperation, darkness. This is all the psalmist sees and feels. So before you read this psalm on your own, here are just a few observations. First, this is a psalm for the dark times. When we read it, and the many other lament psalms in the Bible, we know we're not alone in our suffering. Second, we have permission to lay our griefs before God in a real and raw way. There's no need to sugarcoat or find thanks or praise when we feel so lost. Third, help is a completely appropriate prayer to God when we can't find any other words. It conveys trust and may also allow us, like this poet, to call God the God of my salvation, even in our deepest despair. And fourth, one reason among many that I think this psalm is included in the Psalter is to show us that God cares and He hears when we're in pain. The Psalms are examples of the prayers of God's people, and they communicate truths about who God is. In this case, that He invites us to come and lay our pains before Him, knowing that He's listening. Since I started off by talking about the story of the Psalter, I'll make just a few comments about the surrounding Psalms so that you're aware of how they can carry along a narrative thread. Just following this psalm is Psalm 89, where the psalmist recounts God's past faithfulness, but then accuses God of abandoning His promises and His people. And this is the end of Book 3 of the Psalter. The people are in total despair. But the next book, Book 4, opens with a psalm praising God for being a refuge from the very beginning of time. In other words, it's an acknowledgement that God is faithful even though the people are in exile without a king or a home. The Book of Psalms continues this story forward, praising God as king even when there's not a Davidic king on the throne. And the Psalter ends with a return of the Davidic king, a coming righteous one who will lead the people in praise of Yahweh.